Tara Clancy has made a career sharing these honest, funny tales about her life, like this bit for the storytelling venue, The Moth.
So when I told my father I was gay, he said, "All you need is love, sister." And then we listened to a couple of Carol King records while making our own yogurt. Not a chance.
Right? Okay, Clancy comes from a big New York Irish-Italian family. And about that beautiful accent?
Unfortunately, people hear mine and they don't think, now there's a person who popularized quantum electrodynamics. You know, they hear it and they make judgments.
Tara Clancy did try to lose that accent in college.
I really thought I had it nailed. And then I was in a class and I had to read a little section of Twelfth Night, the part of Feste. Uh-huh. And the word H-E-R-E was in it, which I say here, right?
And that you hadn't gotten rid of it completely, I guess.
I had not, apparently. And I read the line and I just hear this booming laugh. And I stopped and I look around and the big laugh had come from the professor. Ooh. And instead of feeling mortified, I felt defiant.
And that defiance comes through in her new book. It's called The Clancys of Queens. Some call it a working class memoir. Tara Clancy's a former bartender, and she writes about her crazy, joyous upbringing. We asked her to read a little bit from the book. This is about her parents' divorce.
My parents' 9-year marriage would convert, in Catholic years, to all of about 3 minutes. Plus, my father being one of 7 children and my mother being one of 6, the fact that I am an only child is nearly statistically impossible for Catholics. I cannot exist. I do, of course, but I am the first and only child in the history of both sides of my family.
And this only child found herself at the center of an ad hoc Italian village at her maternal grandparents' house, and this is where she and her mom lived during the week.
The geriatrics of 250 First Street is what I dubbed them. So my grandparents, when they moved from Brooklyn, they moved to Queens, and just by luck ended up living next door to 2 other elderly Italian-American couples. The 3 houses were, like, right next to each other. It was just like I was the little mayor, you know?
The mayor of the little community. Everyone waving at you and saying good morning. And
Yeah, and I'd be waving off, you know, "Good morning, Tina. You know, good morning, Anna." And just it was great.
And I don't even know how to start to describe your grandma, Rosalie. How do you say the name? Riccobono?
Riccobono.
Riccobono. I mean, her hero was Mae West. She would curse. Start with the contents of her refrigerator. I feel like that's a good place to start.
The contents of her refrigerator. That's a good one. So my grandmother, like, a dustpan was a luxury. The other thing that was an extravagance was Tupperware. So instead of Tupperware, my grandmother just used all of the old plastic ricotta containers, which is fine, except that it meant that everything was, like, hidden. You know, you didn't know what was in what jar. So something that advertised
everything
being
was ricotta labeled
cheese.
Ricotta cheese.
Exactly. Everything was ricotta cheese or like, Mancini red peppers, you know. and then you'd open it, and, you know, instead it'd be, like, sausage. It was like a little scavenger hunt, you know. You didn't know what you were going to get, what you were going to eat.
Well, and she took pride in having food come from her, because she would get very angry if you would try to eat in other people's houses, not even a piece of candy. Why was
nothing.
That?
Nothing. She was a Depression-era child. It meant something to her that everyone knew that I had enough to eat. And so in her mind, and this is really true, in her mind, if I was to take a piece of candy at a neighbor's house, she presumed they would instantly think, that kid must be starving. She ate us butterscotch, you know? So I would get a lecture before we went to anybody's house. Like, you are not, if anybody says, do you want a piece of candy? You say, no, I'm full. Thank you.
So Tara was with grandma and friends on weekdays. On the weekends, she was sometimes with her dad, a cop, who lived in this old boat shed in Broad Channel, Queens. It's amazing this child didn't have emotional whiplash, because she would sometimes leave there in a stretch limousine and head off to her mom's boyfriend's estate in the Hamptons.
I was able to jump social strata in a single bound, you know, like I was a little superwoman.
When did you realize, like, wow, I had a younger life as a kid in all these different places, that, you know, there's some stories here that are really worth telling?
You know, it was kind of at the very tail end of college. I took a writing class on a whim, one playwriting class, and I instantly started writing autobiographical stuff. And people were like, what we really like from your work is the character that's most based on you and the monologues. And I was like, that's lovely. You know, you're basically telling me that, you know, I'm a narcissist, but that's the best thing.
We want more of you, Tara, more of you.
I was like, and also you have no imagination. Like, just keep it to you. And that's kind of, it ended up working out that way. I started telling stories on stage, and then I got involved with The Moth. And people, when they hear my literal voice, you know, they realize that it's missing in literature and in pop culture. You know, there's really an appalling lack of work from working class women.
And at this time when there's a lot of talk about the working class in this country, Tara Clancy includes one story in her book that she finds especially telling. It's about a regular in the bar where she used to work. He was nicknamed Joe Bird.
So Joe Bird was a guy that had the South Boston accent. I knew that's where he was from. Came in you know, flannel shirts, construction boots. And I went on, and he was, you know, heavy drinker, but great guy, very sweet. Good tipper. Mm-hmm. So this one time, it's just he and I in the bar, and I ordered some Chinese food for lunch, and the delivery guy comes, and I end up getting into a fight because he had overcharged me, and the delivery man was not a native English speaker, you know, and between my accent and how fast I talk, you know, neither am I, right? So we're talking past each other, but it's getting heated. And so finally, Joe Bird just stands up and gets in between us, and I think, like, this is it, right? I mean, he's just going to knock him out, you know? Mm-hmm. And he started speaking to the guy slowly and calmly and completely in Chinese.
And calm down everything.
Calm down everything. I mean, but it was mind-blowing. And I mean, they're basically patting each other on the back and they're doing the, like, you know, it's all good, bro, but in Chinese.
What did you learn about him and what you thought of him, Joe?
It's probably pretty fairly simple, but here I was, even though I, you know, am a lot different than what people think a working class New York woman would be, but I had judged this guy. I mean, turns out he had been back and forth to China, taught himself Chinese. I have judged just in the way that people have judged me.
Tara Clancy, her new book is called The Clancys of Queens.